everyone, and welcome to LID Radio Podcast. Today we have Kevin Duncan on our Inside Knowledge series, and he'll be going through 10 ways to be your best from his book, The Excellence Book. Kevin is a business advisor, marketing expert, motivational speaker, and author. He's written 20 books which have sold over 180,000 copies and been translated into over 12 languages. After 20 years in advertising and direct marketing, he has spent the last 18 years as an independent troubleshooter, advising companies on how to improve. So now over to Kevin.
Disenthrall yourself. On the 1st of December 1862, President Abraham Lincoln delivered his annual message to Congress. The country was in the middle of a civil war. He concluded, "The dogmas of the quiet past are inadequate to the stormy present. The occasion is piled high with difficulty, and we must rise with the occasion. As our case is new, so we must think anew and act anew. We must disenthrall ourselves, and then we shall save our country." Disenthrall, it's an interesting word. To enthrall means to capture someone's attention. This could be good or bad, depending on what exactly is attracting your undivided attention. To disenthrall means to discharge, free, emancipate, liberate, loosen, release, unbind, uncage, unchain, or unfetter. So if you're obsessed with perpetually doing or seeing things in a certain way, you may first need to disenthrall yourself to stand any chance of changing your attitude. Only then will you have a chance of seeing other possibilities.
Number two.
You are what you do. There's no point in claiming to have a certain attitude when your actions either fail to prove it or, worse, contradict it. As Aristotle said, we are what we repeatedly do. Thinking is one thing, doing is quite another. Gina Miller, the businesswoman who initiated a court case against the British government challenging its authority to implement Brexit, said, "What's the point in having a conscience if you never use it?" The popular blogger and author Mark Manson points this out in his unsubtly named book, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. Who you are is defined by what you're willing to struggle for. You can rarely think your way into a new way of acting. You need to act your way into a new way of thinking. In other words, the action proves the thought. Without action, it merely remains a concept, and as such, doesn't technically exist.
Number three.
No one else is interested. In his memoirs, Gig, The Life and Times of a Rockstar Fantasist, British poet Simon Armitage recalls returning to his hometown. There, in the bargain bin of a second-hand bookshop, he found a copy of one of his own books. It was inscribed in the front, in his own handwriting, "To Mum and Dad." Despite their son pouring his best efforts into having a book published, his parents obviously didn't consider it worth keeping. Which just goes to show that however much you care about something, other people probably don't. In fact, they might not even be interested. One person's passion may be another's ambivalence. It's up to you to decide what you feel strongly about, but don't expect anyone else to care. Do your parents really understand what you do for a living?
Number four.
Sit and be. Blaise Pascal, the French mathematician, said, "All of man's misery comes from his incapacity to sit alone in an empty, quiet room. We are useless at doing nothing, but when we rush into things, we usually cause trouble for ourselves and for others." In his book An Optimist's Tour of the Future, Mark Stevenson relates a story told by Tim Langley, director of charcoal manufacturer Carbonscape. An elderly German businessman and his wife hired Tim and his boat to go looking for dolphins. There were none to be found, but they kept pushing Tim to keep looking. Eventually, after 2 hours, Tim asked, "Do you want to continue looking, or do you just want to sit and be?" Such an idea had never occurred to the German. In order to determine a decent attitude, we need to pause and think properly. Sometimes we just need to sit and be.
Number 5.
Precrastination. In his book Hashtag Now, Max McEwan introduces the concept of nowists. Nowists don't worry about the past or the future. They concentrate solely on positive action now. They frequently practice what he calls precrastination. They move the priorities of the future into the present by starting things early. In fact, unlike those who continually put things off, they actively want to start on new things, the opposite of procrastination. Even underconfident people can do it. Author Daniel Levitin calls it acting as if. If you don't have confidence, you can still act as if you do. If you haven't completed a daunting task, you can still act as if you have. Successful athletes act as if they have already won by picturing themselves having done so. Project yourself forward in time and visualise the successful end result.
Number 6.
The year that never is. The author Douglas Adams had an interesting perspective on time. He said, "I love deadlines. I love the whooshing sound they make as they fly by." Many people and entire companies wonder why they never seem to get much done. Here's why. In January, the year is just getting started. February, it's half term. In March, everyone goes skiing. April has Easter. May has 2 bank holidays. And in June, the schools break up. In July, everyone is on holiday. In August, the whole of Europe is shut. And in September, people are just getting back into their stride. October is half term again. In November, everyone has flu. And in December, they're all in the pub. That's how the years fly by. Understanding how time dissipates is the first step towards making good use of it.
Number 7.
Try everything once. Try everything once except incest and folk dancing. This was the advice of the famous conductor Sir Thomas Beecham. One of these activities is illegal, the other merely polarising. As long as it's legal, it's worth investigating everything. You could take someone else's word for it, or you could try it yourself. It depends on how much you trust the source and how vicariously you wish to live. Nothing really beats personal exposure to something. If you don't enjoy it, don't do it again. Inquisitiveness is good, but masochism isn't. Everyone makes mistakes, and when you have made enough, they call it experience. Paulo Coelho, the Brazilian novelist, advises, "Be brave, take risks. Nothing can substitute experience." So make your approach investigative. Foresight, hindsight. Some people, as well as companies, institutions and governments, reckon they can foresee what's coming. They're usually wrong. Interestingly, the majority of forecasters usually commit 2 sins. First, they get their predictions wrong, and second, they get away with it, because no one ever checks whether what they said actually came to pass. The most accurate prediction you can make is that your prediction will be wrong. As Sir Humphrey Appleby from the comedy Yes Minister wryly observed, "I foresee all sorts of unforeseen problems." The apparent benefit of hindsight is no more helpful. We learn very little from history, and yet our desire to pretend that we do leads to a collective blindness about the past. As Nobel Memorial Prize winner Daniel Kahneman points out, hindsight perpetuates the illusion that the world is understandable. One thing only. The processing capacity of the conscious mind is 120 bits per second. To understand one person speaking to us, we need to process 60 bits of information per second, which is why you can barely understand 2 people talking to you at the same time. To make sense of all the stimuli thrown at us, millions of neurons are constantly monitoring which aspects of our environment we should focus on. This is what author Daniel Levitin calls our attentional filter. Without it, we would be perpetually distracted and bewildered. Being decisive includes deciding what not to do. As musician Miles Davis pointed out, it's not the notes you play, it's the notes you don't play. For excellence, choose one thing at a time and decide to give it your full attention.
Number 10.
Be Tommy Cooper. Here's a classic joke from the comedian Tommy Cooper. I said to the doctor, "It hurts when I do this." Tommy raises his arm. He said, "Well, don't do it then." The logic is irrefutable. If something doesn't work or you don't like doing it, then don't do it. Most people are perfectly intelligent, and yet they often keep doing the same things again and again without any noticeable improvement in the outcome. Smart decisions involve identifying what fails to work and systematically removing those defunct activities. So if things aren't working, stop doing them. Decide not to carry on. Think of something better and do that instead.
Thank you to Kevin, and thank you everyone for listening. So don't forget to keep an eye on our social media at Lib Publishing. We'll be sharing more podcasts with people such as Kevin Duncan and expert opinions and new books. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on Lib Radio Podcast.